Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you today, Rob?
Today, Russell, I am feeling like a sophisticated communicator.
Ooh.
And I'm feeling super cool and incredibly stylish because our guest today is...
And arrogant.
And all about me, no. Our guest today has inspired me to feel all of those things because she is one of my heroes. I have discovered her initially through One Extra on the radio as an amazing DJ. But more recently, she has been on our screens and she is the most amazing person to watch when she interviews other people. Like, I just saw her on the Brit Awards backstage and I was sort of struggling with a lot of the people on the screen. I was just a bit like, who are all these people? And like, I'm not really connecting to any of this. And then every time she came on the screen, I was like, our guest is so legendary. I just love her. And she did the best interview with our friend. I think it was with Self-Esteem, but there were so many different musicians there and she was having all these conversations. And every time she was on the screen interviewing, I was like, I love this guest. And then every time, I don't know, I just felt like there was a beacon of light on the screen.
She brings the best out of people.
She does. And then we went to the birthday party of Aisling B and I couldn't even say hi to you because I was so in awe because I just think you're the coolest. So the way to meet you was to invite you onto our podcast.
That's how we make all of our friends.
I mean,
wow. You're so kind.
Sorry,
I'm interrupting. Let me shut my mouth and mind my business.
We love an interruption. So we would like to welcome our new best friend to Talk Art, Clara Ampho. Hi, Clara.
Hello. You're so kind.
Aww,
that is the loveliest, loveliest, loveliest thing. And I appreciate that with everything. Thank you.
Well, honestly, I'm so grateful for you because I just think you're brilliant. You're such a brilliant broadcaster. And it's so hard, I think, to connect to people out there. You know what I mean? Like, and I just think you're doing it with such grace and style. And you're just an icon, really, to me. Yeah.
You're very lovely. And I love your jumper today.
Thanks.
You look very stylish.
Your mission is accomplished.
You also look very fantastic.
Thank you, Clara. Love.
Yeah, Russell's wearing a Navot Miller t-shirt.
It's gorgeous.
We recently had on the show.
And legs are out.
The legs are out.
It's a beautiful day.
It's not warm enough, but...
Life is short. Do what you feel, babes, as
exactly.
My lovely friend Zazie would say.
Yeah?
It's a motto of life. Do what you feel, babes.
Do what you feel, babes.
Do what you feel.
Do what you feel, babes.
I need that on a t-shirt. So, when it comes to presenting, and I was going to ask you this before we come on air, but I want to ask now, do you get nervous?
Depends on the job. With radio... Not really anymore because it just feels like having a chat. See how we're just here now, us three? It's just like, hey, it just makes having a chat. It depends on the guest sometimes and my preconceived notion of them. So, for example, I don't know, there's some heroes that I've been a bit like, I don't know if I want to chat to you because if you're not what I want you to be, maybe I'll be disappointed. But so then that can create nerves as opposed to can I do my job properly? Do you know what I mean?
Mm. That motto, never meet your heroes.
Yeah. Luckily, I've never met anyone that's disappointed me. I've been really lucky so far. So far.
That's really
lucky. Actually, no, tell a lie. There's one person I know.
Who, who?
I'm not because it's really bad. It's not a music person.
Male or female?
I'm not. You're not going to get the answer out of
stylish,
me.
Unstylish?
We're not going to get that.
Stylish,
they're very stylish.
Oh, no, they really are.
Annoying.
But again, whatever. Look, sometimes you catch people on a bad day, but... bad day.
I heard that you did anyway. One of your childhood.
We're straight in with the shade, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We love that.
Because before we start this conversation, dear listener, not me taking over. This is Tall Car. Russell did say the show can get a bit gossipy. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, you're talking about art.
I heard you met one of your childhood heroes, though, quite early on in your career, Mary J. Blige. Is that right?
She's fab.
She's
amazing. I've interviewed her a couple of times, and she's just gracious and fun, and she's just who you want her to be, but not in a performative way. She's just MJB, but she's just cool, and she's just very just no filter, because I think because of what she sings about and how she performs, yeah. I think she just brings that to her interviews. Like, it's just raw, unfiltered, like, this is me, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why people love her is because, yeah, she lets herself be vulnerable with her fans. Mm-hmm. I think that's really special.
Yeah, people connect to the music, don't they? So when it comes to interviewing musicians, mm-hmm. have you ever interviewed artists?
I did a thing for the Serpentine a couple of years ago, and it was a celebration. I can't remember for what, because it was in the pandemic when everything was on Zoom, and I was doing so many jobs on Zoom. Everything sort of melted. And I thought it was a celebration of James Barner. That's what it was. It was a celebration of the legendary James Barner, brilliant Ghanaian photographer, lots of different people were sort of involved, and I did a little bit with Edward Enninful about, but did I get to chat to James? Sorry, honestly, my brain scrambled. The past 2 years, there's been so much going on. I interviewed him or met him casually actually about 6 months ago, but I had to do a thing sort of talking about him for this thing on Zoom. And it was really special, really interesting. But that did make me a little bit nervous, because I love art. I'm an art fan, but I wouldn't call myself an art broadcaster per se. I'm just a fan. Yeah. But I think that's how I approach everything that I work on. Like, you know, like what you said about me was very lovely, but it's just because I'm excited to be there, because I just like music. So I'm one of the Brits, yeah, having a good time. Do you know what I mean?
You're a geek, basically. Yeah, like, we're geeks for art.
Exactly.
You're a geek for music.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So I think I probably got a little bit nervous doing that, because I was like, why don't you choose like someone like Tracy Emin to do it, or like Jay Joplin? I was like, all right, wicked. But
did you know his work already?
You know, I've always been a fan. Like, I've just been aware of him, obviously, like Ghanaian. So he's like one of our.
Your
big
parents
icons.
Are Ghanaian,
right? Exactly. So he's one of our big icons. And I went to a show of his when I was last in Ghana in 2019, before we knew the world was going to turn to shit. I went to a little gallery in Accra, and it was this beautiful like retrospective of his art. And then lovely Moses Sumney, who I'm sure you may know, performed there. And it was just beautiful. And I've just always loved him. So when Serpentine asked me to host that event, I was like, yeah, absolutely. But it did make me a bit nervous.
And for those who don't know, what kind of photographs?
It's a lot of sort of like portraiture, a lot of sort of, I guess, not necessarily nature, but just people. He's obsessed with people. And he photographs like women really, really well. And I guess a lot of the stuff that we see of his now was like shot in like the 60s, 70s, like real, just sort of like metropolitan Ghana, like thriving, bustling city life. So I think, do you know what? I think with a lot of people's perception, especially when it comes to like anywhere in Africa, particularly sub-Saharan Africa, it's like, you know, everyone's impoverished and everyone's struggling. And that's just not, it's not true. Like, there is that. Mm. But for me, what I like about his work, he just shows Ghana in all of its facets. Like, yeah, he's photographed really impoverished people. He photographs middle-class people, the super wealthy, people who may not even realise they're being photographed. Like, I just think his work's beautiful.
There's an incredible art scene in Ghana, and there has been for a while, but in the last like few years, it feels like with artists like Amoako Boafo, who's come out of there and really made it, Accra feels like it's the centre of. So what is the art scene like as a punter, as someone visiting?
You know what? It's interesting, because I'll tell you one thing about Ghana that I love is that pretty much 90% of all the shops you'll see, apart from the super commercial ones like in the shopping mall, like in Accra Mall, they're all hand painted signs. The hairdressers, the guy that fixes your washing machine, like the pet shop, whatever, it's all hand painted signs. So you're surrounded by people's original art wherever you go. Like, and the minute you step out of the airport, it's just all local artists, like in Kotoka, it's not what I'm trying to say. Sorry, do you know what? Sometimes I think bilingually.
So is that Ghanaian?
Yeah, no, it's Twi. Twi's the language. Twi's the language that that Ghanaians speak. But yeah, Ghanaian is the international airport in Ghana. there's art everywhere, and it's just, yeah, and it's all hand painted, and it's beautiful, and so I think you can't help but be absorbed in what the locals can do. And actually, the last time I was there, which was 2019, I got a piece of art through hand luggage, and it's one of my proudest achievements.
Really?
So I was like, yes. I bought the system. I got.
What is it?
It's a hairdresser sign. It's from the sort of like tourist market, from this artist called Ras Banana, and it's just a beautiful traditional Ghanaian hairdresser. And I've got it in my wardrobe room, like where I do my hair, so I can feel like.
Is there an appreciation locally in Accra for this craftsmanship?
Definitely. Like, oh my gosh, like if you're, I don't know, just driving down the highway, there's people there like handcrafting like statues, like painting signs, like just for whatever. Like, I mean, it's a different country, but there's a guy in Jamaica called Nurse Signs. You've probably seen his work. You may not have realised that it's his, but it's very distinctive, sort of like almost like bubble writing, like graffiti style. Mm-hmm. And he makes signs for all the sort of like big artists in Jamaica, like whoever you are. He's just known for like doing stuff, and he gets like big commissions to do a lot of things out there. And it's
We've got a minty.
Oh, lovely. Thank you for the minty.
Of course.
Thank you very much. Also, I speak really fast.
So do we.
Okay, great. Lovely. But
yeah, so.
But that little brain fart there, my brain talking about the airport, you can really cut that out because that's going to annoy
me. No, it's nice.
No, it's going
to
annoy me.
Some people listen to us at like 2x the speed, so they don't need to.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful.
I actually do have a friend, John, who puts it on 2x and cycles across London.
Well, so many people listen to our podcasts because they want to get through so many, so they put them at double speed.
Yeah. I couldn't handle that.
So talking about your art collection then, because I think I saw, it might have been The Sun online, did a tour of your house, and there are...
Didn't ask me about it. Honestly,
there's a lot of artworks in your house, and there's a beautiful artist that you've been championing. I think her name is Josephine Chime.
Yes, Chime.
Chime.
Yeah, Josephine. She's amazing.
So she's been painting your mum, and she did a painting of your dad.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. So Josephine's a good friend of mine. We met. We just met Raven. To be honest, we met in the club, like a lot of my friends. And she's a brilliant, eccentric, wonderful Nigerian woman. Like, Josephine is truly one of one, but her work is, it's just so brilliant. It's really, she works with a lot of different textures. She loves colour. And the way she painted my parents is amazing. So the first bit I got her to do was, a picture of my mum from a wedding reception. And she, and my mum's in like traditional Ghanaian, like kente cloth. And she drew, like she hand drew like everything so perfectly with like red biro, and then with green, and then with yellow, and then like painted over it. And then got the texture for my mum's necklace, like just right. And like just the lines in her face and everything. And I honestly was blown away, like when she did it for me, because she did it for me as a housewarming gift for my old flat. So I had it for about 8 or 9 years.
Did you know she was making it?
I asked her to. I was like, I really want this in my house. Like,
did you know you wanted a painting of your mum?
Yeah, I really wanted one. And then about 3 months ago, she did one of my dad, because my dad passed away about 2015 he passed away. And I thought, do you know what? I really want one to go side by side. So I got my mum's, is in like the far right of my living room, then my dad's is on the far left, and they're on like sort of matching shelves, like when you look like that.
And they can see each other.
Yeah, which I really like. But she's wicked. I should share the videos, because she did, I think she shared her process of how she did it. I delete Instagram from my phone randomly.
Oh, randomly or on
purpose? Yeah, no, like, well, sort of a bit of both. So I just, so I'm just not on it all the time, because it can just be a fucking waste of time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I just loop between apps. Well, Josephine is, she runs a course at Camden Arts Centre.
Yeah.
Which is something she does for 6 weeks every year or something, mm-hmm. is it? Do you know about that?
I'm aware that she teaches, but I'm aware that she just has like different residencies places. Like, Josephine's also very elusive. Like, she's a hard woman to track down sometimes. Sometimes she'll just like disappear. But I guess because she's like creating, isn't she? But I know she teaches. But if you're listening, you want to go to one of her classes, you get in. You can have a lovely time. Like, she's fucking bonkers.
We can share details of that.
Yeah,
yes, please do. Please
and I saw in your Instagram, you've got an amazing painting, which recently you've been photographing yourself at home. And it really made me excited, because I was like, she's living with like unique artworks.
Do you know what? That painting, every morning when I see it, it makes me so happy. So it's called I'm Your Man, and it's by Abe Adedina, who's this Nigerian artist. So he's based in between Brixton and Brazil. And I became aware of him because my brother, my older brother Andy, bought one of his pieces about 6 or 7 years ago. And I remember I went to his flat and I was like, I fucking want that. I was like, who's that?
So your older brother's friend is an art collector as well?
So it's my older brother Andy who collects art.
Oh, right, cool.
Yeah, and so I was around Andy's flat about, yeah, it must be six or seven years ago. And he's got this gorgeous piece by him. And I was like, who the fuck is that by? I was like, I want it. And he was like, go on, let me have it. I said it very naively, but in that very little sister way where you just expect.
Yeah, mine.
Yeah, mine, give me. And he was like, fuck off. But I started following Abbé on Instagram and I just become a really big fan of his work, and then randomly I became friends with his daughter. I didn't connect the dots that was her dad, and we chatted here and there, and he's like, Joe, come over to my flat and like just come and have a look and see for yourself, like,
in what... Brixton, not Brazil.
Yeah, in Brixton, yeah. Sadly he did not pay. would love yeah, like, come to Brazil. I went to his flat in Brixton, and it's amazing. It's like the minute you walk in, like, you're greeted by he's got a dog called Belle, and the dog just jumps up on you and is like really overexcited or whatever. And then it's just his work is everywhere, as well as other people's work. He's got a lot of like old West African art in his house, and he's got a shed at the bottom of his garden, and he just stays in there listening to Radio 4 all day,
painting.
Oh, and it's just beautiful, and he's just really fucking cool. Like, I want to be like him when I grow up. He's just, you know, he stays in his garden, or is in Brazil, I think, at the moment. You know,
so he's got a studio there as well.
I believe so, because I think he bought a home there, like, for just basically like fuck all, like years and years ago. And has like spent time like building it up. And I think when it's cold over here, he goes there, and then when he comes back here.
And the painting you have by him, can you explain what? Yeah,
so it's a man and a woman, and they've got a sort of like a sea, like I guess like the sea's behind them, and these two gorgeous open windows, and there's two sort of black swallows flying towards each other with pink and green ribbons from the swallows' mouths, and they're just looking at each other really sort of like almost quite longingly. And there's these,
it's like an offering, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, let me look at it again.
Yeah.
But it's just, like every day I see it, I'm so delighted to have it, because it just, and like all my friends love it too. Hang on. Is it going to load? Is Wi-Fi a bit shit?
But do you find that, whereas he found you using your platform and your profile to support artists and, you know, amplify them, has he noticed a difference in, like, engagement with his...
That's a good question, actually. I'll tell you what I will say. I remember he said to me very specifically, it was really lovely. So he goes, I really want a black woman to own my work. He's like, it's really important that black women own my work. Because obviously anyone can own it. Oh, there we go. It's beautiful, isn't it? So the women's, the women's in green, the guy's in the pink t-shirt. But he said, and I just feel like you should have this. I mean, and obviously you're thinking, oh, of course you're going to say that. But he meant it. He meant it, you know.
I think there's quite a big movement, push for that, to make sure that, you know, black artists have black collectors.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I think, you know, the art world, as we know, is not perfect. Like a lot of institutions, it can be fundamentally quite systematically racist. Like, that's just that is true. Like, I've noticed a change, particularly over the past sort of, I'd say, 5 years. Like, when I go to galleries, there's a lot more black people, a lot more young black people going there. Like, you know, I went to the Kehinde Wiley exhibition at the National
Gallery
about 2 months ago, and I saw loads of like really cute like teenage young black couples on dates and just like getting their little selfies in front of like the work, and just really having like like really cute dates and stuff. And like, you know, people can sort of like poo-poo that, like, yeah, I'm doing my art ho date, yeah, like, you know, art ho life, whatever. I'm just like, fuck it, good.
Well, it's a destination.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, do you know what? If you're 17, 18 and you want to get your blood and you want to impress, you know, your
an art gallery.
Yeah, your new person, and you want to get your cute little content, fuck it, do it. Like, it's a gateway. Like, I don't know why, I can't see why people can be mad at that, you know?
It's also, like, free to get into all our museums in the UK. It's like, it's such a brilliant date because it doesn't even cost anything.
Exactly.
And it's kind of interesting. You're going to have, like, something to spark off with
each
other.
Correct.
Like, you look at a Kehinde Wiley work and you say, what does that make you think? And then also you get to learn about the person you're on the date with.
Absolutely.
I love the idea of a date in a gallery. Not that I ever do it, because I don't ever date. But
babe,
never dating.
Listen, let me sip my tea, jeez. That's why I take myself on art dates.
Love that.
I love
that.
I always do. I go with friends, but like, most of the time I go to galleries by myself.
What have you seen recently?
So I think, the Kehinde, I saw, oh gosh, what have I seen recently? I went to the RA just the other week.
To see Francis Bacon? Or?
Just to see everything, really. Ah. But yeah, Francis Bacon I saw. And then I took my little niece. Where did I take her? I took her to, lovely Lebena.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lebena.
Yeah. I took my niece there. Cause
that's Tate Modern, isn't it?
Yeah.
Until the end of the year, yeah.
I like being fun Auntie Clara. That's my role. I want to be that when she's like, you know, when she's old, like, yeah, my auntie took me here, took me there.
But the thing is, you don't know them sort of like what that would trigger in a kid.
Exactly.
I mean, the things I saw, and that got me obsessive art because I saw like a Lichtenstein in a book and thought, oh, it's a cartoon, but it's also a comic strip, but it's also fine art. Oh my God, that's possible.
Exactly.
Things like that, you don't know these things that you're stimulated by as a kid can actually change your life.
Yeah.
So you're fun Auntie Clara at the minute, but you might be pushing her into an artistic,
I hope so. I mean, obviously, look, like, my niece and nephews can do what the fuck they like, obviously, but I just think it would be such a shame to, like, I don't know, like, have a life without colour and just beautiful things and, like, seeing people's perspective, like, from what they make. Don't get me wrong. If you want a career in pharmacy or banking, sure, have at it, but
buy some art with your money.
Correct.
Exactly.
That's correct.
An interesting thing as well, because a lot of those big corporate companies now have like big art collections and even have programs to like educate their staff. They're like banks and stuff.
Mm.
They actually have like art programs.
Which is pretty impressive. It's pretty fantastic. I mean, it could be easy to be quite cynical about it. And I'm sure there's an ulterior motive. But
oh yeah, true. For
if you're getting people looking at, you know, beautiful things.
So what did your niece make of Lebena show?
She loved it. She loved it. Like she's quite cool anyway, to be fair. She's an artist herself.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes, actually, she's my step niece. Well, I don't like the word step. Whatever. She's my niece. So she is my my brother's bonus child. So my brother Andy, who had the Abbey, and so she was brought up in New York before she lived here. So she's quite cool New York kid anyway. So like she grew up like surrounded by like flipping like the Lower East Side, like the MoMA. Like so she's right. Sort of been about that life. But she's a brilliant
artist. She might
actually
be cooler than you.
Oh, she absolutely.
She's taking you to Lebena.
Oh, yeah. Listen, she she's completely cooler than me. But she's a brilliant artist. And actually, when they got married, she drew these lovely portraits of my brother and his wife. Made them into fridge magnets for the wedding favors. And I've still got them. She's honest. She's really fucking talented.
So your brother collects.
Yeah.
So what has he been collecting now?
The Abbey. He's got. He's more of a photography guy as well.
Right.
He's got bloody hell. You go to their flat and it's just every bloody like coffee table book you could imagine of every artist.
They're in London.
Yeah. So we're all local. We're all in East. So we're all like local to each other. Which
is he the brother that got you into music because of his albums?
Yeah, I'd say so, because I've got four brothers and one sister. But I think me and Andy probably got the most similar taste. But you know, when he'd go out raving with his mates, I'd like steal like his CDs and shit, or like open like files that I wasn't supposed to have. Like, let me just quickly listen to that, and then like, you know, just put things back like carefully, or like open up his like. Yeah, his like special books or whatever, and like, yeah, because he'd like have like ID magazines and Faces and all of that, and I was just like, wow, like this is fab, like, do you know what I mean?
People are missing that today because they don't get that as much. Everything is online, and I think I read somewhere about how album art for you is kind of a lot of people the first art we see.
Absolutely,
and you were saying about the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, that album, you know, back to front,
beautiful,
but the cover is something that means so much to you as a work of art, and how, you know, new generations are missing that because we don't have this physical thing. We might not have physical books anymore. I love carrying a book around.
I like a book.
Yeah, a dog-ended book, and it's all kind of scuffed up and you can look at the back and the front and take your time with it.
Yeah.
We're missing that with this album art, but I mean, these must have been some of your first references you saw.
Oh, definitely. And speaking about the Miseducation album, like that cover is so stunning because it's essentially her face like carved into wood, and she's my favourite person ever. And actually, another mate of mine, he's a brilliant artist, Ted Pierce. He's known as Ted's Draws. You've probably seen his work, actually. He makes really cool, I guess, versions of like iconic people. So he's like Prince, Sade, Lauryn Hill. Like he got commissioned actually by big record labels to sort of do all the artwork on I think the first or second floor of their HQ of like all of their sort of like iconic artists. But he's at Ted's Draws on Instagram. He drew me a one of one, because I forbade him to recreate me of Lauryn Hill, and I've got it hanging in my room. I was like, do not make that for anyone.
You've got a unique one.
Oh, yeah. And I said to him, if you make that for anyone else, I'll fucking kill you. And it's hanging up in my room, and I've had it for 8 years now.
But how does he make the work?
It's really simple, just like line drawing, essentially. And it's just so fab and so unique. And he's great, but he's quite chill about his work, because like he works in a cinema in central London. And the thing is, I think he really could, if he could be bothered. Sorry, Ted, I'm calling you out. He could really do it full time, but I think he's just like, he likes working in cinema.
What's his name again?
Ted Pierce, aka Ted Straws.
Okay.
I guarantee you've definitely seen his work before, because he had a moment where like he was making T-shirts of his work as well. And everybody was wearing his T-shirts at one point.
But I actually saw you wear a T-shirt with Destiny's Child all drawn out.
Yes, I did. That's not him. That's not somebody else. That's an artist I found at Etsy, and I've gone blank on their name. But it's similar sort of style.
I really liked that T-shirt, though, because it was an artwork. It wasn't like just a photograph. Yeah.
A screen print or something.
Yeah, no, it was like, original artist.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah, no, I've still got that T-shirt. I'll have to find out who wears it.
Well, you're really looking at art.
I can't help it. Like, I think it's, do you know what's really interesting? I always find it fascinating. People say, I don't like art, I'm not into art. But the thing is, you actually are, just by default, without realising, like from the fucking Nike logo that you may have on your T-shirt to why you choose that brand of like washing up liquid over the other, it's because of the graphic art on whatever thought made you think, okay, no, I like that.
Mm.
I like it. Like, do you know what I mean? And like, then somebody might even take that washing up liquid bottle and, I don't know, repeat it on a screen 300 times and frame it. And that's
pop art style. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think everyone is into art, even if they think they're not. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why this comes up a lot, but I call it offensive that the government say the arts are superfluous and they stop cutting the arts.
Listen.
Because like the table we're sat at, this craftsmanship that went into that, someone had to learn how to whittle wood to make, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Whittle wood?
Yeah. Whittle wood into a table.
Yeah.
But I'm right?
Absolutely. And look, and when there's a fancy gallery opening, and I don't know, when you need to win over certain constituents to do whatever, you're going to take a picture with local artists, aren't you? And put your thumb up to the camera, aren't you? You're going to, like swan around with, I don't know, a really well-known collector to be seen in certain upper echelons if you're in a particular party, not mentioning any names.
But it's also really interesting because of like, if you think of like community safety even. Mm. So if you think of like Yinka Ilori, the designer and artist. Like,
I love Yinka. I've got one of his as well, actually.
Have you?
Yeah. What have you got? I've got one.
Yeah, it's the web one. It says Better Days Are Coming. It's that one. Yeah.
Better Days Coming, I promise.
I promise. Yes, yeah, yes. So I've got that in my hallway above my trainers.
Major.
Yeah.
But I loved what he did, like making kind of underpasses that were like concrete, kind of jungle, quite dark, scary spaces.
Like no-go
areas. Mm. Into really bright, colourful, lit spaces that change a whole community the way they can live.
And honestly,
and the politicians don't realise how important that is. It's like art changes communities.
It really, really, really does. And like the amount of people I know who would see like the Better Days Are Coming, I Promise thing, post up with it, especially in lockdown. Well, I guess that is essentially, you know, why that piece like came to
existed,
be.
Yeah.
Well, because I think you just needed to see it. To be honest, it's transformative. Like, who knows who was having a shit day and saw that and was like, you know what?
Totally.
Yes,
yeah.
Kind of thing. And it is insulting, and it's just quite sad that, you know, artists are the first people to get it anytime anything goes wrong, you know?
Yeah. So, you were saying about the lockdown, I think that painting of your mum, you were suddenly even more thankful for during lockdown.
Oh, for sure. Like, again, just to look at it every day, put a smile on her face. Like, listen, my mum is one of my most favourite people in the world, if not my most favourite. She can get my fucking nerves sometimes. Like all parents. And sometimes I find her. So it's just, you know, it's like when, I don't know, you've got a dog, haven't you?
Yeah. Great.
And you know when your dog gets on your fucking nerves?
Never.
It doesn't. Okay, no. Maybe it doesn't. Or like, I don't know, have you got pets or
no,
like
I'm about to get
or...
kittens. This is a world exclusive.
They're going
to
get world exclusive,
I'm getting kittens, everybody.
And they're going to annoy you. I know you.
They're going to annoy me. And they're called Window and Doorway. And they're going to be, it's a window and doorway to my soul.
No, they do. Okay, they do. I take it back. They do when I want to just do a quick walk around the block, get your pees and poos out and get back. And they kind of want to sniff every single kind of corner of every door.
Yeah.
Dense,
and you're like,
kind of,
but then they'll look at you with that little face and you're just like, how can I be mad? That's me with my mum sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Does she know you're comparing her to a pet?
No, she doesn't listen to podcasts, thank God. Well, she doesn't listen to podcasts, actually. She watches a lot of YouTube.
Did she not listen to your podcast?
Absolutely
not. Made a podcast about Londoners.
Yeah, I know.
Her love of the city.
No, do you know, she doesn't. And I need to get back on with the recording a new series of that. But you know how it is with life.
Yeah, of course.
We're all spinning plates. But no, my mum is delightfully clueless about the things I do. Like, she gets it, but she also doesn't get it. And I really like it that way.
Yeah.
There's nothing starry, like about how she treats me. Like, she's always very... obviously, Mum loves me, but it's not like, oh, my God.
Special
my daughter's
treatment.
On... Yeah, there's none of that. But, yeah, seeing her little face in that picture makes me feel good.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Royal Academy, the RA, earlier. Mm. And in March this year, you were announced as someone very special to the RA going forward.
Apparently so, yeah.
What was that?
I'm a trustee now, so I'm...
Yay!
So I'm on a board with several other people, and it's just going to be about making decisions to do with the RA, supporting it publicly, and just, like, for me, my goal is getting more young people in there and just putting on some cool shit to get people, to let people know that it's accessible, because I think there are so many people. And look, I'll call a spade, especially black people, we think that these spaces are not meant for us when they really are. They're meant for everybody.
Mm.
That's the point. And it's not even across race. Of course, it's across class as well, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that art is a very... Well, because historically it has been, to be honest, a very sort of middle to upper class, you know, or even aristocratic... what's the word?
Aristocratic.
Aristocratic, that's thank you very much. I promise you, I do actually have an English degree. Can you?
An aristocratic. You were about to say Aristotle.
That's it.
So that's what it was.
The philosopher,
yes,
see?
Exactly.
I know things. and I get it. I get why people would feel alienated.
Well, you've not seen yourself on the gallery walls.
Well, yeah,
you
exactly.
Know what I mean? So if you don't see yourself represented, then you don't feel like you belong.
Well, yeah, why would you go then? I remember... I think it was a couple of years ago. I think Yinka Shinabare, I think it was him sort of overlooking the summer exhibition.
Yeah.
I think 2 or 3 years ago, and I was thinking, like, that's fucking great, because that encouraged me to want to be there. I was like, well, yeah, good, like as it should be. Like, you know, Britain looks like so many different types of people, and these people are making art. So why the hell should not be on the walls?
I think it's also so brilliant because, like, the RA is like located in Green Park, and it's free to get into. For
that's it.
Bit. So, oh no, maybe it's not. Is it? Do you have to pay for tickets?
Some rooms you do.
Rooms you pay for, but other rooms you don't. But it's such an amazing space because it's so central. So if you were like going shopping and you're already in town,
yeah,
it's kind of something that's going to change your day.
Absolutely, and also I love the fact they support young artists. Like, it's the only free art school.
Yeah,
in the whole of the UK,
the RA schools,
which is pretty nuts. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think that's really lovely, and I just want to support it. So I got some ideas.
What can you say your ideas now? Or are these things? I mean, how regularly do you have to check in with this?
So I probably get communication because it literally just started like a few weeks ago. But like the emails are coming through. But there's but it's good. Like no, but they're on it. Like they're really passionate. Like, so we got the summer exhibition is happening. Let me just double check my date on that. Actually.
Is it quite a responsibility you feel you have?
Yes and no. Like, I think it's shared. So it's not like it's not like I'm coming in here like a senior board member, like, right guys, it's the budget this year and da 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 da.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I want to use the connections that I have to hopefully put on some great things there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to use my platform to say, look, you can come here. Because actually, I remember there were times I'd go to exhibitions and I like to take a picture of what I've seen. I remember somebody like called me out in a comment once a little while ago saying, you shouldn't do that, it's disrespectful because, like, you know, people have to pay tickets, da 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 da. But I genuinely share art that I like because I think it, obviously I like it, I think it looks nice, but I want to let people know, like, you can do this. This isn't an elitist.
Well, your mantra is art
thing.
For everyone, which is
absolutely
well.
So that's why I share things. I think that's just what I want to bring to the RA, to be honest.
And actually, the RA Summer Exhibition, which opens on the 21st of June, so it's coming up
really soon,
and it runs till the end of August. That is such an amazing thing. If you don't normally go to galleries, it's a brilliant thing to do because you get to see an overview of
something. Well, as an artist as well, you can submit
and
your
you can
work.
Submit,
that's
exactly,
it.
So it's inclusive, yeah.
And it's just this beautiful, like, it's quite overwhelming, but in the best way, you walk in there and it's just an assault on the eyes and you don't really know where to start. Like, I would almost encourage anyone listening, if you're going to go, if like maybe even go twice, because it just, there is that much.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. You can even go three times, to be fair. Come as many times you like, because it's
there's hundreds of artworks in there, and they're like salon hung, so there's like all over the walls,
floor to ceiling,
and certain rooms are curated by different artists, and that changes every year. So there's always like different viewpoints and perspectives. They've had people like Tracy Emin did a room once. Mm. Wolfgang Tillmans has
Michael
done
Craig
it.
Michael Craig Martin,
yeah, you and Grayson Shana Perry, Barry, like you said, Grayson Perry. Yeah. Yeah, Michael Craig Martin did it all magenta pink, didn't he?
Yeah,
yeah, fab. Yeah.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's some blurb about the RA. The RA was founded by King George III in 1768. It has a unique position in being an independent, privately funded institution led by artists and architects, whose purpose is to be a clear, strong voice for art and artists. And it is reliant on support. It's not government funded. Yep. It has patrons, sponsors, donors, friends of the RA.
That's it. So give us your money.
Oh, they love you.
Sign up and become a member.
With love. It's for the young artists. It's for your visual delight. So why not?
So for music and art crossover, did you know that there are many artists that are also artists?
I did know that. Like and I'm learning that more and more. Like a lovely guy that I know, Laurie Vincent, who I'm sure you're aware of. Maybe you're not. Oh. He's in a punk band called Slaves. Bit of a dodgy name, but hey, retrospect 2020. I think they're on hiatus. They're still very friendly. It's a duo. They did a really popular cover of Shutdown by Skepta in the Live Lounge on Radio 1, okay. And it went viral. But Laurie's art is absolutely stunning. It is so good. So I would.
Does he sell it?
He does. No, he does. He sells it. He's. So, I think he's really talented. I really want to get one of his bits because I remember actually it was Annie Mack that, because I follow him anyway. But Annie Mack, I think, has bought something of his. So again, my lovely Instagram.
Yeah, no, the Wi-Fi is terrible.
There we go.
But you know that Britney Spears made art.
Listen, how could you not know that Britney Spears makes art? Beyonce makes art.
What?
Yeah, she does. I remember
she
actually.
Does, she can't sell her art. Does she sell her art?
No, I just remember there was an episode of, I think it might have been Cribs. I think Beyonce did Cribs once, or it was some sort of like diary, Destiny's Child thing, whatever. She's like, you know, I just like to paint. And it's like her, like with all these bright colours and it's like, I just come here and I paint. I just like, but she does it. She likes to paint.
I did never knew that.
I'm sure
we
it's
need
like, Beyonce
I'm
sure it's
on
YouTube.
The show.
I'm
I
sure
love
it's
her.
On YouTube. Yeah.
Major.
But I do know that Britney paints.
Britney paints a lot of flowers.
She does have butterflies. Yeah.
But you know, people like David Bowie was an artist.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Dylan, his prints sell for an absolute fortune. Joni Mitchell, Stevie Nicks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who only draws angels.
Fair enough.
Apparently, fair enough. That's all she wants to draw. She draws angels all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew Stevie Nicks made art either.
Now you know.
We've got
to
a whole new
art.
Series of talk art coming up with all these.
That would be a good side project, actually. A musician talk.
Also
art.
Paul McCartney, but if you Google his work, I find it quite scary and haunting.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, which is unexpected.
Wow. Hmm. There you go. So which artist would you say are like your favourite artist? Is there one in particular or somebody's Ooh. Show that you've seen that kind of made an impact on you?
I mean, I am obsessed with Abbé's work. I just love it. But Faith Ringgold I really like. Mm. I really like
you
actually.
Saw her show at Serpentine.
Do you know what? I'm so annoyed. I literally, because I was so fucking back to work where I couldn't make it. Oh, so I've just been a fan for a while, but I've seen obviously separate pieces of hers, like in the Tate and other yes. spots. And I saw some work of hers in the museum in Brooklyn. I can't remember which. It might even been the Brooklyn Museum, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been about, was that 2 or 3?
And that's similar work to what was shown in London.
Yes. Yeah. But I think she's great.
Yeah.
Like, and I just, again, I'm just here for black women having a great time in art, to be honest.
And she's a lot older and overlooked for many years.
Yeah.
And now really being recognised.
Yeah, because I think she must be about 80-something
mm-hmm. yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
still gorgeous.
And her daughters
beautiful.
Are a big part of her life, and obviously, but like they actually really helped champion her work and have really like fought her corner, which has been really interesting. I think maybe it's a daughter, I can't remember, but there's definitely a family connection, which is really sweet. I saw this great documentary about her. And also she was always reflecting the politics of the time, really truthfully. And that's why the work is so visceral and so kind of touching.
Oh yeah, because it's quite gory, some of it as well. But I like that, because it's just not shying away from, you know, the ugliness of what it is to be a black woman in America, which I think...
There's some pain in there,
yeah,
isn't there?
No, yeah. for sure. I think she's brilliant. I mean, I know everyone loves Basquiat, but I do. I went to see the family have just put an exhibition in New York. I was in New York just last month and got my Basquiat mug. I love a bit of merch.
Love a bit of merch
from museum. Got a big old mug. But I tell you what, I'd be intrigued to know what you guys feel about this, because I find like, okay, like you keep hearing or like your Basquiat, like they are now in this point where I think I've seen people walk around with like t-shirts with their work on, like, because obviously they got like collaborations like with the estate, with like a Uniqlo or an H&M, whatever. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because I wonder if half people wearing stuff like know who they're wearing. And if they don't, I actually don't judge that. But I do wonder how you feel about artists like that sort of reaching that kind of peak commercial level.
It's like a Trojan horse, I guess. You don't really know that you're wearing something that is coded, that has history, that is a part of kind of art history and the world history. There was a show I did, a play called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And on the poster, it used a David Wojnarowicz symbol. And David Wojnarowicz died of AIDS, and he was an activist artist, and he made these stencils, and it is a burning house. And it became part of merch. I think La Wave did a whole series. And people were walking around with sweaters with this house, a burning house on, which signified AIDS, which signified, you know, queer people dying, being, like, politically ignored. And people are just walking around just thinking, oh, it's a burning house logo, it's just kind of cool, not realising that what they're carrying around on them is loaded. It's loaded art. And, you know, Basquiat's work is fucking loaded.
Yeah.
This isn't just made to be a sweater. That work, there was pain in there, as we're talking about face work. There's, like, angst, there's anxieties about society, about his position in society. But people are wearing it on their T-shirt now. So I guess it's brilliant because art is out in the world and people don't even realise they're seeing art every day. But maybe the commodification.
We've all got a bit of a word thinking.
Yes.
Commodification?
Yes.
Or commercialisation? But I guess both.
Both.
Really,
both.
Yeah.
I mean, is that...
But then I guess the brands themselves, like if you think of Uniqlo, I think they do on the labels, they have like, they'll put the name of the person,
they
maybe
do.
The signature, and maybe a little short bio of who that person was. Something like that. And I think if brands can maybe use their platform to somehow educate and uplift artists' stories and stuff, then that's a good thing.
Oh, for sure.
I think if it's being done just for like pure commerce, and maybe that's not
commerce.
Fun.
Yes.
But I guess at the end of the day, the estates are signing off, and like I don't begrudge them
as long as they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they're not, then that's probably the issue.
And also, Kors has done loads of merch, hasn't he, and stuff, and he's kind of reached out to different audiences. And in music as well, because he's collaborated with Pharrell a lot and different people.
Yeah, he was saying he likes seeing going to the playground with his kids and seeing other kids in his merch.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I remember I think it was like a meme or a TikTok, and me and my friends did quite find it quite funny. It said, if he goes to his house and he's got a cause and nothing but Supreme toys, run.
I get it.
And that's no shade. Look, he cannot help how popular his work is and how it's been received and who it's been received by. But there is a certain type of, I think, single straight man who has cause.
Sneakerheads.
And a particularly on a trainer and loves Supreme. And it's just, it's quite, it's
but isn't that amazing that
a lot.
Kors has done that?
Yeah.
Kors has made art. And Banksy.
Yes.
And them sort of artists has made it really accessible for so many people to go, oh, I like art because I like this. I think it's my thing when I like Liechtenstein. I was obsessed with cartoons and comics and I went, oh, I don't need to grow up. Mm. It's this thing where you go in like this street art element. It's kind of quite macho, isn't it, in some ways? There's some sort of energy about it. And it's like, well, I can like fine art and it doesn't have to be, you know, like European great masters and like
it.
Women on swings.
Well, it's a language, isn't it, at the end of the day? And it's like, and I know people can, and again, Banksy and Kors and like, you know, Keith Haring's foundation and Basquiat's foundation, they cannot help how their work is being received. But, you know, I've definitely been at like parties or maybe on some bad dates where like it's somebody who's not necessarily like a creative person, but they're just like, you know what, I really fucking love Banksy. Yeah. And because it's that thing of like, I get it, I know what. And I'm like, you know what, babe? Fair, do you know what? I get what you're trying to do here. But that again, is that not the point of it? There's no right answer really, is there?
No, you know but I mean? Know what you mean though.
But I like the fact that it's a language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that there is a pathway to the next level of art through Banksy, through Cause.
It can introduce you to art.
Yes.
And then maybe if you're curious enough, you'll take yourself somewhere else. For example, you might end up in East London galleries, for example.
Hey.
Like where you live and you both live.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Chisenhill or somewhere like that.
Yes, for Rachel Jones's show, which is currently on, which is amazing.
It's one of the best shows of the year. Yeah.
Can you remember the first gallery you went to?
Oh, that is a great question. Actually, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a gallery in Balham, because on the weekends, honestly, memory unlocked. I love this show. This is great. It's like therapy.
art therapy.
Yeah, art. There you go. Because Ghani and Heritage, there were certain like spots that my mum would have to go to, so, like, to get food, so, like, cook us like traditional Ghanaian meals, so, like two in Brixton, Balham. And there's
is a traditional Ghanaian meal?
So like jollof rice, which is like sort of like a really lovely like spicy rice, like fried plantain, like I don't know, a meal called like fufu, like, but you basically need very specific ingredients. Like Brixton, Balham, Tooting is where my mum would go to like get these foods. And my dad would drive us there, and my mum would like go to the market and just literally be there for like fucking like honestly like 2 hours. And my dad would take us this little gallery that was right by Balham Station. I wonder if it's still there actually. And we would just run around in there. Me and my little brother, we would just run around. And I can't remember for the life of me what it's called. Like, yeah, I'm going to Google that. I really hope it's still there. And they just had, it was very, very minimal, very bare. And maybe had, I don't know, like 8 portraits. So like 4 on either side. And it just felt like a playground, to be honest. It was just, had a black floor. I mean, it had a black sort of like laminated floor. And yeah, I just
remember the work in there.
It was like quite, let me really think about this now. I think sort of like quite graphic and like, I think pictures, not pictures, like bodies. I mean, pictures of bodies. Mm. That's it. Like pictures of bodies, like actually like, I think like still life, I think like, so I guess, I don't know, maybe like a local person like drawn like their naked like part of it. I think that, yeah.
But you, as a kid, do you remember feeling inspired by it? Although it felt like a playground in it, you could
move around,
but did you also feel like you were taking in the work at that age?
A little bit. I remember just thinking like, oh, this is a fun place to be. I just remember thinking every time we'd go to Balham Market, I'd think, oh, great, we get to go to the gallery and run around.
That's so
and it
cool.
was like quite, it was quite echoey as well.
Oh.
And it was one of those galleries. It was never really rammed. So like usually my dad would take us in there, being like me and my little brother and maybe like 2 other people. And it was, I guess, essentially like a free creche.
I just googled Balham, but there are loads of galleries there. And actually, I didn't even realize.
But it's
so
right by the
check
station.
Out Balham,
yeah.
Clearly, it's a new hotspot for
us.
Did you grow up with art in the house?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, again, like a lot of photography, a lot of like coffee table books. Like my dad really liked photography and a lot of sort of like Ghanaian sort of like carved like sculpture and stuff. And like, I mean, every Ghanaian family has got this picture. It's called it's the Akwaba girl. So she's really well known. It's sort of like, you know how there's that famous painting, well, I guess photograph of the Jamaica of Welcome to Jamaica, the woman in the red t-shirt, and she's coming out of the sea. There's the sort of Ghanaian alternative of like this young Ghanaian girl, and she's carrying like a basket, and she's like dressed in like traditional Ghanaian clothes, and it just says like a Akwaba, and every Ghanaian house has got it. It's just the.
And would they have got it from Ghana?
Yeah. Or if not from like Brixton, Balham or Tooting, because like the shops like sell them in there. So there was that was definitely in the house. And my dad worked in Saudi Arabia for a little bit, so he had these lovely sort of like carved, like Saudi sort of like plates that had like Arabic written on them. I had no idea what they said. Mm. Probably like bless this house or whatever.
Right.
We had a lot of those in the house. I think we had a picture of the Last Supper, which is probably my mum's, because very Christian. My dad wasn't, by the way. But like, my mum's a very God-fearing religious woman. Had a picture of that. What else is there? There's a really, it's called Sugar Shack.
Yeah. Who do we talk about with Sugar Shack?
London Hughes told us.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sugar Shack, another one of those paintings that I swear, like five out of 10 black families has got it. some sort of iteration of it, whether it's on a postcard
they're all dancing.
Yeah, and they're like, they've got these weird sort of like curved like bodies. Definitely that was in the house.
Yeah, Ernie Barnes, yeah. His name is. Yeah.
Yeah. So
do you and your brother share tips now on artists?
Oh yeah, he'll be like, occasionally he'll be like, oh yeah, you should check this, da 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 da. Or like, so when I got the Abbey, I was like, oh yeah, don't forget to put you on like, kind of thing.
Credit me.
Yeah. Like sort of thing. But like, no, he's got a great eye. We've got really similar tastes. And actually he's decorated this flat beautifully, him and his partner. Like it's really gallery style, like all their bits and bobs, like load of photographs. But the Abbey's on its own, actually. It's in his corridor, but like their living room is just loads of really cool like paintings, postcards, pictures. Like, it's fab.
Is he impressed with your RA position now then?
He hasn't commented yet, Joe.
Oh, he's jealous.
No. He's busy living life, mate. But he's very lovely. He's very proud. He's a good egg.
Good. Yeah.
Talking of growing up, when did you first realise that maybe broadcasting would be the thing for you? And was it something that you sort of passionately wanted to do, or was it almost, because I know you studied media arts in Kingston and stuff, but like, did you sort of find your voice at some point?
I think coming from a big family, I had to be a bit loud. Just couldn't stop talking. Like, we're just a family of talkers, essentially. And particularly like Ghanaian culture, it's very communal and very like chatty culture, I think. But also the thing is, I love all the arts, whether it's like, you know, like dance or music or film or whatever. And, you know, when I was younger, a little bit of me, I was like, oh, I really wanted to be a dancer, actually. But then I just kind of got like distracted like by other stuff. I just love arts culture in general. And I thought, I want to be able to talk about this with people and just enjoy it with people. But then music was like my sort of main focus. But I'm lucky that I'm able to do bits and bobs here. Like I did BBC Young Dancer the other day, which was just...
Just the Vogan. What was the Vogan show you did?
Oh, that was a Radio 4 documentary that I did with my lovely, lovely, lovely friend, Jay Revlon, and my other friend, Infinite Coles, who's a dancer in the States. But Jay is a dancer who's based in Spain now, but he's a brilliant dancer. And he sort of took me to like the London ballroom scene and just showed me like, you know, how it goes down. Like, cause he puts on balls and like taught me some steps, which I was okay at. Obviously he's 10 times better, but it was just really fun.
Where is it located? Where's the London ballroom scene?
Oh gosh, I mean like everywhere really, but the club that he took me to Fabric actually.
Oh wow.
Because it was a denim themed ball, that was it. So like everyone came like that, like amazing like denim looks, like all these different houses from like different parts of London. I think some people even came from out of London to compete, but it was fucking great. But even that was art, because again, people are like creating these incredible outfits as well. It's like show up and there's all these like different like the categories, like, okay, all right, okay, I don't know, like work femme, right, get on stage, or like, I don't know, like butch cowboy, it's your turn, walk. Like, and it was just, it's wicked. It's amazing.
And actually you two have something in common, which is you were both judges very recently of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, you know, well, Clara was on the Snatch Game judge, wasn't you?
I did get to judge it. Tell a lie, no, I did. Ignore me.
Yes, but you did the Snatch Game.
I sure did.
Yes, which I'm jealous of. I mean, was it not the best day of your life?
It was honestly one of the best days of my life, but also one of the most haunting, because when Pangina got eliminated, when I tell you that bitch wailed, I've never heard visceral, my heart broke for her. Like, it was horrible. Mm. But the thing is, I get it. It's, you got to be tactical.
Blue Hydrangea.
Listen.
Blue Hydrangea was like...
And you know what? I felt for Blue, because you could see, like, they were shaking, like, as they were making the decision. Really? It was like, kind of thing. But I guess, you know, Pangina did what she did to Jimbo. So it was like, okay. But it was, but again, the...
Rob doesn't know what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. It's...
But, I mean, it was amazing TV. Panginas, they really milked that exit.
Fucking hell. But again, the creativity, like outfit, that's basically one of the categories was Luck Be a Lady Tonight. It was all Vegas themed, and she had created this incredible, like Jeremy Scott style, like Moschino, like slot machine dress. And then when she pulled the trigger, like golden pennies came out of her like vagina dress bit, and it was wicked.
Triumph. No,
what's it like when you go on a show that's like that iconic? Is that a time when you get nervous?
Yeah, actually, a little bit starstruck.
Or like when you did Strictly Come Dancing, because I imagine that must have
been. That was nerve wracking, but the best fun, but shit myself every week. But it was like, I'll do it again in a fucking heartbeat. It was so
would
fun.
You?
Yeah, I would. Would you do it?
I've been asked.
I bet they've asked you.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely like, absolutely not.
I'm having a cheeky Christmas special.
You need to cross
cheeky
over
Christmas
the
special just once.
I would never, ever do a dancing competition.
That's what I said.
Never. But
you'd
I just,
be really good, though.
I wouldn't.
He does dances all the time.
I can't dance like that. I just can't do... To me, it's maths.
Right, okay.
Choreography is mathematics.
Got it.
And I can't handle
it. God, they should get Sarah Hadland. She'd be amazing.
Sarah Hadland would be like... she would win everything.
She'd win, I think.
She'd be the star. Yeah. But you, I mean, you won the Weakest Link.
I did. Shout out.
You won the Weakest Link?
I did. It's nuts. I was almost a goner, actually. But luckily, because some other people, like, fucked it, I managed to stay in the game and I won it.
And well, you fun. And me also share the great... British Bake Off.
We do, which I definitely did not win.
No, me neither. Are you a baker?
Well, I can make a red velvet cake fairly well, but it takes ages. But everything else, I'm rubbish at.
Right.
Yeah, I really flopped. Like, Paul at Hollywood told me that my cookies, like, lacked flavour, and that really pissed me off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Honestly, to have a white man tell you that you lack flavour. Oh, my God. In 2022. Very rude.
I just found it so, it's not my natural habitat being in the kitchen. I found it so stressful. And it wasn't until day two I realised that they wind you up on purpose. You'll be there, you have your menu in front of you, you'll be doing your little thing, and then people have come over and each person is assigned a team. You have someone there who's interviewing you and a cameraman and a sound guy. And they're like, what are you doing there, Russell? And I'm like, I'm melting the chocolate for, you know, the brownies. Are you doing that now? They're like, yeah, I'm meant to do it now. Oh, okay. Should I not be doing it now? No. And they'd look to each other and whisper, no, carry on. I'd be like, I shouldn't be doing it now, should I? So I put it to the side, get on with other stuff, come back and be like, I've not melted the chocolate. And they'd be like, oh, you should have left it melting before, shouldn't you? And I'm like, no, but you made me feel like, ah! And they actually wind you up on purpose because it's good TV. Otherwise, it's a load of, like, four people having a really lovely time in the kitchen.
It's very wholesome. Because it honestly is very wholesome.
Yeah, so they have to make you panic. At one point, I pulled a tray out and threw it across the tent. I was just like, they didn't keep it in.
Who was in your heat?
It was my James Acaster, Rylan Clark and Michelle Keegan.
That is a good four.
Yeah, and I mean, Rylan had just won, like, Celebrity MasterChef.
Right, okay.
And Michelle did the most incredible showstopper.
Yeah.
James was below me, thank God. Amen. James had a meltdown
Who was your team?
It was me, lovely Harrison, Harrison Blake from In Between Us.
Yeah.
When people have got a surname, first name. Like Craig David.
Who's Gary Lucy.
David Craig. Exactly. Who,
Blake Harrison.
Blake. Sweet, like, literally sweet as the days are long. Lovely Emma Willis, who's like the most wholesome, lovely babe. And Alex Horn. So it's just really nice people. So I could definitely see the wind up
happening. No, stresses me out.
It was a lot.
Any more reality TV shows coming up for you? Or ones that you want on your bucket list?
No, actually. I think I've had my fill, you know.
It's quite a lot.
We need you Grayson's show.
Arch Club.
Do you know
Arch
what? Club. Okay, so just between us Squirrel Friends, they did actually approach me to be on it, and I was really excited. Then they changed their mind last minute. I was a bit gutted about that. But I get it. Like, look, I'm sure they have to ask like 20 people. Maybe 10 will say yes, and then someone might be a better fit than the other. But I think...
is the new one.
This was...
You go into the house with them now.
Oh, no, this was in lockdown.
Yeah, I did the lockdown.
Because I think one of the questions they said was, do you make your own art? And I said, honestly, like, I actually don't. And I think that might have been maybe why I couldn't go ahead.
Did you ever make art, though?
I really liked art in school. And a teeny tiny regret. I wish I kind of took it a bit more seriously. But then I just loved so many different types of things. And I was quite sort of like, oh, a little bit of that, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And I just remember I had this really, she was quite stern, but quite fun Irish art teacher called Mrs. Keenan. And she just had that very art teacher sort of like vibe, like fab short haircut, always wore like an oversized shirt, like no nonsense Irish woman, just like, that's not very good, is it? Like, do that again. Like, okay, no, that's good. Like, oh, but she's just fun though. But I wish I took it a bit more seriously. Maybe I'll start, look, maybe I'll take a leaf out of Britney Spears and Beyonce's book and start painting.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Watercolours or something.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I think maybe I'll be into sculpture.
Ooh.
Because I don't think I'm very good at capturing people very well. Although I have to say, shout out to my wonderful friend Shirley. Shirley happens to style me for events. Shirley started painting and doing life drawing classes in before lockdown. Her work is absolutely incredible. And I keep badgering her to sell it to me. So anyone listening, follow at Shirley O'Amati on Instagram and check out some of her work. It's fucking great.
She won't sell it.
She won't do it yet, but now I'm going to put social pressure on her.
It's interesting she's doing life drawing, though, because my mum was in Margate with me the other day, and my goddaughter came, and it was her birthday, and Tracy Emin came round to my mum's kitchen in Margate and sat there and spoke to my young goddaughter, who's a young artist. And Tracy's advice to her was just go to life drawing. She's like, I think she's like 15, my goddaughter, and she was like, you need to go to life drawing now, and you need to take life drawing really seriously, because once you've sort of got that and you've got all the skills to actually do a proper life drawing, work, apparently you've got everything you need. She really believes that. And my goddaughter's now signing up.
And great.
And is your mum going to be a model?
Keep it in the family,
Oh dear. Oh, Russell, you always take it too far.
So we ask every guest the same questions at the end, which is, first one, if you could do an imaginary art heist, you could steal any work of art in the world for yourself, what would it be and why? As a collector, this is very exciting.
As a collector, I don't want to be generic, but it would be a Keith. And I'll tell you why. Do you know what? I've been trying to hunt it down. I got a postcard because I went to the Keith Haring exhibition in Liverpool. It was on a couple of years ago at the Tate. It was stunning.
Yes.
And there's a beautiful picture, beautiful painting he did of a pregnant woman. It's a pregnant black woman. Did you remember it? With all the yellow, and it's his typical Keith style. And it's just called Untitled. And I've been trying to find a print of it. And I just can't fucking find it. And I've just got this teeny tiny postcard. And I was thinking, oh, can I get it blown up? But they might overpixelate it. And it won't look nice.
Oh my God,
but
that is a mission for us.
But whoever owns
that. We need to go on a mission now and find it.
Yeah.
So did he ever make an edition of it in his lifetime?
It was at the Tate. So whoever this private owner is, I want to steal it from them.
But that's the original.
That's the OG.
So sometimes he made prints.
Yeah.
Of
images, I don't think he did. And I'm gutted because I
have
think
that one
it's
then.
Stunning.
It's an imaginary art heist.
I guess so. Yeah.
So that's yours.
That's mine.
There you go.
We'll
find a picture of that. I'm going to go and try and find
It's just beautiful. It's really lovely.
Did you spend a long time in front of it?
I did. I stared at it a lot, and I was like, I think it's actually my favourite piece of his, actually. Because anytime I've travelled anywhere and I know his stuff's on the wall, I'll go and find it. It's like I saw his bit in Barcelona, I think that's when he did it in the height of the AIDS crisis. I think it was basically, it was translated in Spanish about basically protect people with HIV. I think that was a translation. And I've always wanted to see the Crackers Whack one in New York. And I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
I haven't seen it.
I saw there's a beautiful mural he did at this gorgeous swimming pool in the Lower East Side, which I've seen face to face, which is great. And I saw a piece of his in Melbourne in Australia. So anytime I'm anywhere, I can see it face to face.
Next time you go to New York, you have to go to the Gay and Lesbian Centre.
All right.
Yes,
Village.
You took me there to the toilet.
Fab.
And there's a bathroom there. He painted the whole bathroom.
Amazing.
It's free. You just walk straight in and you open the door and you can see this bathroom that he painted.
Is it protected by anything, or is it just the raw wall?
It's just raw wall.
Oh, sick.
It's
okay, I'm going to
really,
do that.
Really incredible.
Fab. I'm going to go.
What is it about Keith Haring then?
I think there's something, even though obviously the things he painted about, were born from, I guess, the latter part of his career, a lot of frustration and sadness. But there's also something quite childlike about his work. And I know he was a massive fan of Mickey Mouse. That's kind of what got him excited about art and drawing. And it just reminds me of being a little kid, actually. Because I think he's just one of those artists I was just always instantly aware of. Oh, that's that man that does those weird, those chunky figure things. That they'd have on, I swear, at one point in time, his estate must have licensed his work to a vitamin tablet company. Because my mum used to give us these little vitamin C tablets, and I'm pretty sure his work was on them. And I think that's my first memory of his work. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Wow.
So this makes me feel like a kid, his work. I just love it. And the use of colour and just the shapes. I just think it's brilliant.
Imagine the thing with the estate that they stopped authenticating his work in 2001 or something.
Right,
If you ever go to them with work afterwards, they won't authenticate it because they feel like there's been so many forgeries and copies because it's quite an easy image in some ways to replicate.
Yeah.
So his market is quite protected now.
Yeah.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, gosh.
In terms of being creative or... being a broadcaster or...
Oh, that is a great question. The best advice I've ever received. I mean, it's stuff I tell myself. My thing is, if you feel the fear and do it anyway, I'm just fuck it. Because if it's not, lean in. If it's not you, who the fuck is it going to be? That I've had to tell myself that. Obviously, look, we've all got our talents, we've all got our skill sets and whatever. But if things are happening and put in your way, why are you running away from it? I think I've had to really get to that lately. So, yeah.
Have you had instincts to run away?
I think so, a little bit. I mean, I don't know a single person that hasn't had imposter syndrome. Oh, no, why should I be here? Da, 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 da. I'm just well, it's It's you. So you may as well like enjoy yourself. So I think that's my current mood.
Yeah, Russ. Do Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, exactly.
Embrace the fear.
That was my like sneaky way of trying to make you do.
Right.
To make you dance.
Cheeky Christmas special. Let's just, or one.
I'd rather do something at the RA with you.
Okay,
sure.
All right.
I'll dance at the RA. Final question is: what is your favourite colour and why?
Yellow.
Yes, and yellow. You're wearing
I
it.
Love yellow so much. It makes me feel happy. I think there's a shade of yellow to suit everybody. Do you know, actually, a load of my white girlfriends are like, oh my God, I can't wear yellow. Especially my super alabaster sisters. Like, I can't. And I was like,
I think I'm an alabaster sister.
No, you're not completely alabaster. You're not pale. You're not that pale.
I mean, look at the inside of my arms. I am so pale.
I think I know people arguably white. Actually, Ashley B is an alabaster sister.
Beautiful. I was born ginger, so
really?
I do have ginger jeans, yes.
But there's a shade of yellow to suit you.
Yeah.
In fact, the yellow on your T-shirt you could wear.
Yeah,
see?
You look good in that yellow.
There
babe.
You go.
Guys.
Also, the T-shirt you're wearing today is like a bandana.
It is.
It is so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
That's like an artwork in itself.
Indeed, exactly. And again, art's a language, isn't it? You know, obviously there's lots of different varied histories with bandanas across lots of different like communities, you know, whether you're looking for sex or in a rival gang.
A bandana, a yellow bandana in queer culture means piss.
Wonderful. I mean, okay. I've never been a fan of Golden Shower myself.
I was thinking more like Japan or something. Ancient like craft.
Well, funny thing is, it's a Kenzo T-shirt.
Oh, is it exactly?
There you go.
See?
Yeah.
I was thinking of like Japanese history and culture.
Yeah.
Love that.
But I, just okay. to categorically, and I do not, I'm not kink shaming. I am not into Golden Showers.
And I just want to give a shout out to Aisling, actually, because her blue dress that she wore to the BAFTA the other night.
Gorgeous.
Iconic. I mean, she looks so amazing.
She's so beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Was it like cerulean blue? Is that no? Was it too light? No.
I don't know. It was such a
gorgeous. Is that the blue from Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah. How interesting. What's it? No. Because there's that whole sort of like monologue that she
yeah,
does.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why you're wearing that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Amazing.
Love it. Well, thank you so much.
We love you. Oh, my God.
Love you.
And honestly, when I was signed up to your Instagram, you know, followed your Instagram and I saw that you had an artwork in your house, I was like, she's living with real art, like unique art. I love her even more.
Thanks.
But I'm very excited for the Royal Academy that you are now going to be on board with them because I think you're going to help take them to a whole other
level. I hope so. Let's do some fun stuff. Well, look, do you know what? Maybe an idea is you could do a talk art live at the RA.
We would love to. And
how
actually, Russell
that?
Could dance.
There you go.
Yes.
Beautiful. See, I knew there was a point
with you, or you would set up like a...
I don't know, maybe like, I could mediate or get you with a cool
you're
new
gonna
artist
need to mediate.
Or something. Or, yeah, invite people to come watch. Could be fun, and then like some music after.
Love.
Beautiful.
Living love.
The
dream.
There you go.
Yeah. So what have you got up next? What's your next? Have you got anything?
I've got something I can't talk about, but it's exciting.
Okay.
And
that's annoying for everybody.
I know that's really annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I still got my radio shows. Tune in, Future Sounds.
Future Sounds.
6 o'clock, Radio 1. And then, a couple of telly bits that people will see towards the end of the year that I'm excited about. So, you know.
Winning.
Make sure you watch them.
Brilliant.
And you're on Instagram at Clara.
Just at Clara Antfo.
Perfect. Yeah. Very direct.
Yes.
Direct.
And for everyone listening, we will be posting pictures of everything we discussed today. Go to Clara's Instagram and look at all the images of the works that we've been talking about in her own collection.
Yeah.
And enjoy life.
Yeah, get out there and see some art. Be inspired by Clara's message.
Yes.
A lot of museums in the UK are free, so go visit them. We'll be back very soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Clara.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamond and Russell Tovey.
Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in today's episode, with music by Jack Northover.
Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.